It's Spain and Company. Sarah Spain, Jordan Cornette with you on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80. Joining us now, former Bulls guard Craig Hodges. He played 12 years in the NBA Final, four of those with the Bulls. Thanks so much for making time for us, Craig.
All good. How's everybody doing the season?
We are keeping it together, all things considered. We've been enjoying The Last Dance. It's been something to look forward to. But I was reading a story that you're frustrated that you weren't given the call to be interviewed for the documentary. Why is that the case?
Yeah, first of all, I want to thank God for, giving me a chance to speak. And I want to tell everybody that's listening to be safe and make sure you're drinking plenty of water.
Right.
But for me, it's one of those things, and just watching it unfold, it's not a matter of me being salty, but I'm just saying it's a matter of just making sure that it's a well, if we're going to talk about the history of it, I think it should be told more than to just be glossed over or glanced over.
And I know there's several parts of the documentary that you took issue with as it pertains to MJ and The Last Dance. How he called out Scotty and not being a great teammate. How he called out those early Bulls teams for the drug use that was going on. How do you feel about those specific things? And was there anything else that maybe we haven't read about that you've also taken issue with?
Well, for me, just watching it unfold and seeing how really, I'm not going to say one side it is, but it's Michael's documentary, man. And for me, it's one of those things that, we, not just MJ, but we did some great things in as far as bringing the championship to the city of Chicago. We took ass whoopers from Detroit, and there wasn't no one person taking those. So, it's one of those things where it's about we spread the wealth, we spread the ball, and many people took less shots, took less attempts so that MJ could be on the roles that he was on at times. So it's one of those things that, you look at it and you take it for the commercial value that it is. It's entertainment at a time when America needs some entertainment. But at the same time, I think it's kind of hard to really, when you talk about a documentary of a person and that person has some control over the way the documentary is laid out. So I take Ken Burns' advice and see where he stands, one of the world's best documentarians, and he said it shouldn't have been done that way. So, I just feel bad. I feel bad for Scotty. I feel bad for Horace. I feel bad for the brothers. And it's almost a matter of who he's going to throw under the bus next.
I'm curious because, first of all, I think it's tough because you don't have the access, you don't have the tapes without Jordan being involved. So I get what Ken Burns is saying, but you can't make the movie without that stuff. So it'd be a different film. Mm-hmm. Might be interesting as well. But I'm curious, when you were on the team with Michael, did it feel like you thought that he was selfish or that he was throwing guys under the bus back then? Or is it just in his portrayal of how things went down?
All of this is done in hindsight. You know what I'm saying? So from the standpoint of our teams and our ability to do things together at that point in time, man, it was, we had a pecking order, and as far as seniority was concerned on the team, and everybody understood that the public image of the Bulls was Michael and the Jordanaires, but we didn't accept that within the context of the team. It was a certain pecking order. The people who had veteran, years of service and playoff experience, they had a voice, and the voice more readily available than the second or third year player. So Bill Cartwright, myself, Cliff Levingston, we somewhat balanced the vote when they would get somewhat out of kilter, to the point where, MJ was MJ, but within the context of our team, there was a balance in there.
Craig, looking back on that time you shared with MJ in Chicago, as you remember him as a teammate and as a person, what do you remember about him?
Hey, man, off the chain, man. So when I look at this, man, I'm not just hurt for the brothers, but and it ain't no beef with MJ. Love him as my brother, love his game, but it's sometimes, for me, I have to stand up and stand on behalf of my people when they can't do it as well. Not just me, but poor people, homeless people, people where I feel like we can change their condition because of our platform and our celebrity. But at the same time, I understood that when I came to the Bulls, it wasn't about me trying to outshine Michael or any of that. It was about me coming in, knocking down jump shots, playing good defense against Isaiah as best I could, and do the things necessary to get us wins. And when the triangle was put in, I was able to go part of that because Texas and I had 4 years together at Long Beach State.
Yeah. We're talking to Craig Hodges. He's the author of Long Shot, The Triumphs and Struggles of an NBA Freedom Fighter. And one of the interesting things about your story is that well before maybe it was as commonplace for athletes to be social activists, you were very much involved in that stuff. And it feels like maybe some of the conflict with MJ started back then. You know, you wanted him to leave Nike and go to a different group that might be more invested in making a difference to people of color, to people in poverty. You wanted him to be more socially active, and that wasn't his style. Did you guys butt heads about that at the time, him not willing to speak out about stuff?
Not at all. Not one time. You know, and what my position was to MJ, Nike, and it still stands today. If the black community is going to spend that amount of money with you and purchasing power means that much to your bottom line, then you should have some way of manufacturing some of your products in America. And it shouldn't be a thing where, you know, I was taught that oppression anywhere is oppression anywhere. So how can I say that I'm going to do what I'm going to do with over here and be good, and then I'm going to go over there and oppress people? So it's one of those things where I felt like these athletes and we all have superstar status can do more in as far as creating jobs and opportunities for those less fortunate.
Craig, do you ever feel like looking back in 1991 when you were trying to really make a statement and have both the Lakers and the Bulls potentially boycott game one of those NBA finals to shed light on the lack of black faces in prominent roles? We were not executives. We still aren't to the level that we need to be in these professional sports dominated by black athletes. Was there anybody on either the Lakers or Bulls side that responded and said, Craig, I like what you're doing. I stand with you. Or was this something that everyone around you was largely mum on?
Well, you know, one thing about me is that I share when I get excited about finding new information. So I share with my teammates and whoever will listen. So that was the case there where I ran it past Michael. He said it was too extreme. Saw Magic in the hallway. Yo, brothers, what you think about this? He felt the same way. So at that point in time, me being not a superstar athlete, but me being, you know, where I was in the game, I understood where I was at, but at the same time, I felt like we have to at least bring it, you know, to the consciousness. And I think right now the consciousness across the world is one where we're looking not only for the answers but for the new paradigm that's going to transit out of this thing.
Craig Hodges with us here on Spain & Company. You know, it's interesting. Obviously, still, the voices of the superstars and the most talented among us get the most play. But now with social media and with more media coverage than ever, voices of a supporting player like yourself on a great team would get heard more, and you would be able to make more of a stand without needing a Magic or an MJ alongside you. I'm curious if you believe that what you said about Nike and your desire to potentially protest and even wearing a dashiki and delivering a letter to George Bush in the White House when you went with the team talking about discrimination and the ability to try to push for more help for black communities, do you feel like when you were cut from the Bulls and not re-signed with the Bulls, that you didn't find time on another team because you were outspoken about those issues?
No, it's no question about it. You know, at this point, you know, especially that we're looking back in the MJ era and during that period of time, once again, you know, being an outspoken person on the issues affecting, you know, people who aren't really seen and invisible within the mainstream as far as bottom line of people. You know, it's one of those things that, you know, for me, I was taught at an early age that you never more than the least of people and where we are on the totem pole. You know, I had to make sure that when I went to the White House and whenever I had a chance to share the condition of anybody on the human rights level, that's what it was about. It wasn't even about, and like right now, it's not about us beefing with Michael. It's about us making sure and realizing that, you know, when we look at all of this, the economic structure and everything that's going on, it's one that's flawed. You know, you look at our educational system, it's flawed. You know, my son and I were talking the other day about how when a child is sitting in school and half the time he's trying to ram 7 topics down their throat in a couple months span, who can handle that? And it's not even about trying to make them smarter because we never tell them what it's for. So it's one of those things where, you know, right now we have a history where we have to make sure that we're doing whatever we can to get the next generation right and the sacrifices that were made by our ancestors for Michael Jordan, you know, and everybody else that has been able to garner a wage in America You know, I just thank God that I was blessed to be able to be a part and parcel to keep the message alive for poor people and people who are feeling disenfranchised.
Craig, as you look at the leaders of today's NBA and in the things you may have wanted a Magic or a Michael to do back then in terms of activism and being a voice against oppression, how do you feel about the stars of the NBA today and the role they're playing?
You know, it's beautiful, man. You know, from Colin Kaepernick and stuff with the NFL and the sport that he was able to garner through social media, it's the same, you know, with athletes, LeBron and D-Wade and Chris Paul and Carmelo, when they got together. Those are important, you know, watermarks in history, man, that at this point some young guys saw the necessity to stand up and speak forthrightly on the issue that many people don't want to speak to, and that, yeah, you might take some lumps for it, but know that God is watching and that you're going to be blessed for it.
Yeah. It's interesting, in the foreword to your book, sports writer Dave Zirin recalls that when he started covering the NBA back in 2003, he would ask guys why they weren't more outspoken politically, and they would sort of say, as if at being a stock answer fed to them by their agents, was, you don't want to be like Craig Hodges, because it still stood out to people that your career ended early because of the stance that you took. And that's such a shame. Yeah. And I wonder if you think it'd be different now, or if you think what you saw from Kaepernick tells you that times aren't all that different.
Oh, well, we've come a long way from technology and everything else. But I think that there have been some old ways that have been part and parcel of the foundation of this country. So they fall hard, and it's going to be a whole new paradigm. And I think part of this is what's happening now is that, you know, the world is shifting based on the consciousness of the people, and, you know, it's going to change. And I just feel blessed to be part and parcel of the divine inheritance that's coming.
Yeah. Well, much respect to you for always standing up for what you believe
in. Thank you.
And I'm glad we had a chance to talk to you. Thanks, Craig.
Thank you. God bless you and all your listeners.